Well, good afternoon or morning, whatever it is, time it is you're listening to this broadcast. My name is Matthew Minona, and I'd like to welcome you to the verse-by-verse Bible teaching ministry of the Wash and Word. We created the Wash and Word Hand Car Wash here in Churchill for the sole purpose of getting verse-by-verse Bible teaching into your ears. And we do this because, honestly, we feel that the church, by and large, has kind of dropped the ball when it comes to preaching the entirety of God's Word. And so we looked around and we said, hey, you know what? This world doesn't need another church. It needs more of the Word of God. How can we create a business that also brings forth the Word of God? And thus the Washington Word was born. Now, I don't want to waste time talking about the business because this is a Bible teaching slot here on the radio. And we want to get right back into our verse-by-verse teaching. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We just finished up chapter 11, and Paul is going to be entering into the subject of spiritual gifts, which is a widely popular subject and also a widely misunderstood in many instances. If you have any questions or you need information about this business or about this ministry, I encourage you to go to washandword.com. That's washed, letter N, word, .com. You can find out everything you need to know about this business or call us at 423-920-0913. That's 423-920-0913. Excuse me. All right. Well, we're going to get right back into it. So if you have a Bible, open up to chapter 12 in the book of 1 Corinthians. And Paul, again, he's about to start a new section in his letter to the Corinthian church, who, by the way, mirrors and represents the state of the church that we're in today, almost exclusively, almost to the letter, almost identically. And so the warnings of Paul's letters in 1st and 2nd Corinthians especially really apply to what is taking place in a lot of our churches, in a lot of our worship services. So again, he deals with a new section here. So far, Paul has dealt mainly with issues and behaviors that either affect our personal growth as Christians or affect the fellowship as Christians gather together. And a lot of that was centered around pride. That is to seek out the flesh. And we talked about this extensively. If you missed any of our verse-by-verse Bible teachings, we have them all on the website, washandword.com. They're free to download. We encourage you to download them, listen to them, share them. We want to get the Word of God out there as much and as quickly and as often as possible. But so we've talked extensively on the flesh and the pride. yeah, I'm laughing because, you know, we have talked about lust and sexual matters so often in this book because, well, when you do verse by verse, you are not free to pick and choose what God's Word says, or you're not free to pick and choose what you decide you would like to preach on that Sunday, or pick and choose what you decide the people under you should be hearing. No, verse by verse gives us the entirety of God's Word. How can it be done any other way and us continue to be filled and equipped fully outside of this fullness of the Word of God? So we talked a lot about the sexual lust and the parameters Paul has laid out. But again, in a new section here, he's going to move away from the dangerous practices of life and how to handle them or how to avoid them. And we're going to move into spiritual gifts. And he opens up chapter 12 in verse 1. He says, "Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant." I'm going to stop there because I find that humorous. I chuckle when I read that because the first thing he says is, "I don't want you to be ignorant," yet we are most ignorant when it comes to that very thing in the church these days. And so the one thing he did not want them to be ignorant about is the very thing that so many Christians are ignorant about. But the translation in almost all of our Bible versions has it wrong. It is not exclusively talking about spiritual gifts, per se, but he's talking about spiritualities. And by that I mean that it is a spiritually related action and the manifestations thereof. This is why this marks such a shift in Paul's teaching. See, chapter 12, the gifts of the Spirit, which is basically any manifestation of the Spirit, is a gift, and it doesn't have to be labeled. And so that's what I'm trying to get you to understand here, is when Paul talks about spiritual gifts, it's not a list of various gifts, though we do find those in the Bible. It isn't a certain amount of spiritual outpourings that have to be labeled. Again, it is spiritual manifestations and related actions, spiritualities, if you will. Because certainly there's a gift of love, a gift of order, all by the same Spirit, a gift of bringing glory, a gift of practicalities of the Spirit. All these things are tied in together. In fact, that's how the rest of this chapter, or this book, this letter, ends. And chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians is known as the love chapter. And so from this point forward, we're going to look at spiritualities as much as we're going to look at spiritual gifts. Again, chapter 13 is the love of the Spirit. Chapter 14 delves into proper worship and order, so it'd be the order by the Spirit. Chapter 15 goes into the glory by the Spirit. And again, chapter 16 talks about the practicalities of the Spirit. And so what do all these have in common? The word Spirit. And so spiritual gifts, we have to remember, encompass a whole lot more than the actual playing out of a particular spiritual gift. But the beginning here, when we're talking about the spirituality, let's get one thing clear. Everyone is interested in some form of spirituality. It is a primal inquiry or desire in the human body or the human mind, nay, the human soul, to inquire about spiritualities. Now, again, this isn't exclusively related to Christianity. People are seeking something higher than themselves or greater than themselves, and they've been doing so since the beginning of recorded time. We have an innate desire in us to find out and figure out what makes us us. Why are we here? What is the purpose of life? And all of this goes back to finding the deeper meaning of life, i.e., getting into the spiritualities of life. God says in Ecclesiastes 3:10, I believe, I'm just pulling this out of memory. I didn't think to look this up. I wasn't going to plan on doing this. But it says that God set eternity in the hearts of man. And that is that every one of us have this something in us that lets us know that there's something greater than who we are, something greater than this lifetime. There's something beyond. And that's why witchcraft is so popular these days. That's why the occult is so popular. It deals with the same thing, and that is spirituality. But, of course, it deals with it in the wrong manner. Everyone is interested in some form of spirituality. And there is perhaps no greater subject that is so broad when you talk about the word spiritual or spirituality. All religions and all beliefs deal with this word spirituality in some way, some higher power, some new level, or some other reign. I learned a long time ago a simple phrase that has served me well in putting life in perspective. And that simple phrase is, all of life is spiritual. And it doesn't matter if you're an atheist or a non-believer or an antagonist or, it doesn't matter what you are, what label you are, what religion you're into, what belief system you have. It doesn't matter because everything in life is spiritual. And there is something going on in a realm that is unseen by the naked human eye. All of life is spiritual. And Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant about that fact. Why? Well, verse 2 says, you know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. All right, so let's stop right there. So the first reason he says, I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritualities is that ignorance is religious error. And religious error is any direction or movement or shift away from Jesus Christ. I gotta say that again because, quite frankly, it's good. Ignorance is religious error. And religious error is any direction, movement, or shift away from Jesus Christ. Because when you talk about religious or spiritualities and you move away from or shift away from Jesus Christ, then you will, you're going to have error. You're going to be wrong religiously. You're going to be wrong doctrinally. You're going to be wrong theologically. And he says that I don't want you to be ignorant about this fact, because when you were pagans, you were led astray. And being led astray is simply a movement away from Jesus himself. Religiousness and spirituality are not exclusive to the religious and the spiritual. Did you hear what I said? Religiousness and spirituality are not exclusive to the religious and to the spiritual. And that's what Paul says here. Pagans practice spiritual things all the time. And a lot of them don't even realize that they're doing it. And so when we think of the word religious or religiousness or spiritual or spirituality, we automatically think of some form of organized religion or some type of faith involved. But he says, no, we all do that. Verse 2 says, even as pagans, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Many cases, again, not even realizing we're doing it. And in a culture like Corinth, their worship of idols was like none other. Perhaps none other in history that we know it. They were a metropolis of worshiping idols. They were the epicenter of philosophy. Men like Socrates and Plato and all these great philosophers were birthed out of this town. There was the goddess of Aphrodite, which they worshipped almost exclusively there. And again, this was an epicenter of idol worship. And that culture is a lot like today's culture when it comes to idol worship. You see, the subject of the idolship may have changed, but the idolatry has not. And in today's culture, we are idolistic people. Again, oftentimes, many times, we don't even realize it. If we're not in the Lord's will, if we have yet to accept Christ as our Savior, we will be pagan idols. But make no mistake, we are acting in the spiritual, no matter what we do or what we believe. You see, idolatry is any concept or thing that begins to possess us, that begins to exercise control over us, or it shapes our thinking and it demands our time. That is the definition of idolatry. And if you take that definition and you apply it to the life that we see so many of us leading, and we look out at so many people that we know are leading this, again, I'll say it again. Idolatry is any concept or thing that begins to possess us, exercise control over us, shapes our thinking, and demands our time. And if you take those four things, possession, control, shaping our thinking, and demanding our time, boy, is there a laundry list of items that could fit underneath that category. Well, I want to touch on this a little bit more, but we're just about out of time, so we'll pick it up there where we left off in our next teaching. I want to thank you for joining me. Again, we're on WMCH 1260 AM radio Monday through Friday at 8:30 in the morning. We always do verse by verse, so we pick up where we left off. I want to encourage you to come by the Wash and Word. We are a hand car wash, fully hand, all of it's done by hand, and this is how we earn money. Like Paul, we believe we should earn the money that it takes to support the ministry, and we do it so we can get the Word of God out there. So if you want to support verse-by-verse Bible teaching, come to the Washing Word. Let us work to earn the money. Lastly, invite you to Abundant Life Fellowship at 415 Old Union Road, Sunday nights at 6 o'clock. That's where I teach verse-by-verse. Have a great day.